If you're a student of the Old Testament or of the Bible, and you'll remember this story, this is the familiar story of Naboth's vineyard. Jezebel, Ahab, Elijah, and Naboth and his vineyard, the vineyard that became the sore spot in the mind of the king of Israel and led to the downfall, finally, of the house of Ahab. It allowed Elijah to perform one of his last prophetic functions before he was taken to heaven. It showed Jezebel for really what she was, and Ahab for the weakling that he really was. 1 Kings chapter 21. Now you'll notice the last verse of the 20th chapter reads like this. And the king of Israel, that's Ahab, went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. Now this is the end result of an incident in the life of Ahab whereby he had radically disobeyed God. And the prophet, a prophet of the school of the prophets, a prophet of God, had pronounced a curse on him. And as a result of this, it says he went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. I'm going to read a rather lengthy passage here, and I want to ask you to be very careful in listening for the real tones of this passage. Note the character studies that are here, the different individuals involved. And then notice especially how sin is actually defined in this passage, and constantly, though we often miss it in the Bible, simply as selfishness. Now, if you want a good picture of this, here's an excellent chapter to study it. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Jezreel was his summer palace. Hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house. And I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Now, this has a couple of counts of worth behind it. Number one, all of his forefathers had sat in the confines of that vineyard and had moved up and down in it. And then, two, this was a religious statement. Because in the land of promise, it was forbidden in the law of Moses that any part of the inheritance be sold or purchased. The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I'll not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Now, that's a good character study of Ahab. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? I hope you're listening carefully to the connotations of this, the implications of it as you listen to the reading. This was a despotic eastern king. And royalty presumed that it had all prerogatives. It had all rights, and nobody could stop it from doing anything. Now, Ahab would have had some restraints upon him, but Jezebel came from an absolutely pagan country. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians or the Phoenicians. And she was totally pagan. She had no restraints from God on her. So she said, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. You notice Ahab didn't ask any questions. He knew something violent was in the air, but he didn't dare ask what it was, lest he would have to stay her hand. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. Now let me pause to remind you that this is the same Jezebel who was doing everything in her power just a matter of days before to eradicate the mention of the name of Jehovah God out of Israel. And when she says, this man is blaspheming God, it's like Satan accusing sin. But it shows you how far a pagan sinner will go to eradicate that which is right from a spot, and especially that which is of God. She said, let them bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Now, a new paragraph begins with verse 15. It came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. You notice that Jezebel is completely calm, apparently. She has no misgivings of conscience about what she has done or what has been done to dispose of this honest man. And Ahab dares not ask her any question about it, though he knows the worst. Now, verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. I want to say here, And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he's gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed, and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Now you'll recall this is the second time he makes that declaration to him. The first time was back there when the land was under the siege of a three-year-long drought. 3.5 years, in fact, where no rain nor dew had fallen on the earth. And finally, Elijah presented himself to King Ahab, and Ahab said, This is mine enemy. As he addressed himself to Elijah. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I'll bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Our sophistication nearly smothers us. It's hard for us to grasp the real content of this story. I've never seen a better character study anywhere, especially of the swirling siegings of selfishness in the human personality, than in the 21st chapter of 1 Kings. There are four types of character manifest here. One is the character of Ahab. He was weak and wicked. He was extremely advanced in sin, but he was so weak that he was manipulated by everybody about him who spoke with any degree of authority whatsoever, and especially manipulated by the wicked hands of the woman